Hi, and welcome.
I'm Z.
And I'm Keith.
And we're going to tell you about the movie that we just watched. But first, a little bit of a heads up.
Some of the movies we watched deal with heavy subject matters.
In order to talk about these emotionally delicate things and the heavy subject matters that we sometimes cover, we add humor and crude language to add some levity and to process our own trauma.
If that doesn't feel fun or safe for you, we completely understand. Please take care of yourself first and foremost.
And we spoil the end of pretty much every movie that we watch.
Now you know. On with the show. Your show.
Yeah, thank you. It should be. Welcome to another episode of this podcast.
Here you are.
Yeah, here you are. Here you are once again.
Hey, please give us money.
Yeah, we're poor.
During the Patreon, you get lots of shit.
It's true, you do.
Ad free. You get the lobby. You get whatever else we want to put up there.
All those things. All that.
Our preview of what we're going to be doing the next month.
Yep. Everything. All of it. Yeah. Oh, I felt like I have to sneeze.
You don't.
Thank you so much.
Don't think of an elephant.
Thank you so much.
We're here to talk to you about In Dreams.
Yeah, 1999 film In Dreams starring...
Neil Jordan.
Starring Neil Jordan as Robert Downey Jr., Annette Bening, Aidan Quinn... and Stephen Ray.
Guilfoyle.
Yeah, Paul Gil.
I don't know why is it so hard for you.
Because.
Is it the U?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. When you say Guilfoyle, I think you're being funny. So I'm like, God, wait. What is it? Because I've never known.
It for him, but isn't there a Harry Potter character named Guilfoyle?
Malfoyle.
I don't know. I've heard it elsewhere, somewhere.
I don't know.
Is it Paul?
Paul. Yeah, I know.
He was great. I love the first scene with him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's got such an interesting voice. It's so, like, dry and deep. Anyway, his voice is really interesting. I know him from CSI.
Deep and dry.
Well, you can't sing Christian songs like that.
Too.
You can't, and then expect me not to get extra sads on a Sunday.
I love, what's that TikToker's name? You know, with the hair and the face. They do baking things now, but. He'll do back and forths where it's like, hey, you remember that time? And
I think his name is like Sam or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so funny. Yeah. The one where he did, where he was like, something wrong? I saw a TikTok.
Yeah.
Are you gonna say something normal? I'm going to use one word. He's very funny.
He used to go so hard on MMLs.
Oh, God, I know.
No, MLMs. And also mixed martial arts.
Yeah. I like that he looks like he's a 13-year-old, either boy or girl. Mm-hmm. Could go either way. Yep. And it's just a gay male.
Prepubescent.
Yeah, prepubescent all the way. I think no one will ever say about me. Well, I look prepubescent. Anyway, I've been watching too much SVU. So this episode is about In Dreams, which is a movie I was motherfucking obsessed with when I was younger.
Can't see it.
Obsessed with this movie. And it was like, it hit a lot of like early ticks for me that I didn't know. That I didn't know were like things until like looking back now, I'm like, oh yeah, it makes sense. Like, yeah, this is just, and it's like, there's a lot about this movie that's like weird. And this is a movie that's like, I am actually kind of shocked that it's a Neil Jordan movie, but also not, because it is in such a weird way. And there's like, there's things about it that I really appreciate in regards to how they don't try to ever make her look like she's not absolutely batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, and I like that they do that because, so, okay, the premise of the movie is basically like Annette Bening plays this person who is just like a weird, I mean, you know, she's like an artist or whatever, but she gets this, she does drawings. Yeah, she gets these dreams sometimes.
She's married to a commercial pilot.
Yeah. She gets these dreams sometimes and she'll sort of try to chase the rabbit, you know, see what's going on with it. And she's convinced, she has a dream about a little girl, and she's convinced that it's the little girl that was that's gone missing. Some little girl has gone missing, and she's like convinced it's the same person. So they go, they like look for, like they go to like her husband, played by Aidan Glenn, goes to the police and basically is like, hey, I know this is kind of whatever, but, you know, my wife had a dream about this kid, and here's where you should look.
And that's the first scene with Guilfoyle.
Yeah, Guilfoyle. And
it's really good.
He's like, thanks. The kid's dead, but thanks anyway.
Let me see if I get this right here. Your wife had a headache, and she saw a vision of the missing child. Is that right?
No. I wouldn't phrase it like that.
All right. How would you phrase it?
She has these dreams.
Dreams. I see. Is she a clairvoyant?
No.
Does she, talk to dead people?
What?
Does she have, you know, communicate with the dead?
No, detective, this isn't something out of a seance.
Because I was going to ask you, does she wear a turban? You know? Yeah, one of those crystal balls with a lampshade. None of that, right?
None of that, no.
Just checking.
And so... She's confused, but they have a kid. She has a kid, and they're like, the kid goes missing, and she's like, oh, it wasn't that kid. It was my kid that I was seeing.
Right.
And it kind of, it doesn't really go too into detail about it, but you get the sense that they've, like, she's seen things from him for before, and
right.
Like basically she has a connection to, like, she begins to realize that she's not seeing like anything, just random things. She's seeing things specifically from the point of view of the person who like took her kid and killed her kid.
'Cause she's also seeing simultaneously images of a little boy who is chained to a bed and drowning.
Yeah.
Or in a room that's being flooded.
Yeah. And I like.
And turns out it's his childhood.
Yeah, it's him. It's how he. Yeah. And so, like, you know, she ends up tracking him down. But, like, she. It sounds fucking crazy. Like, she's like. And she doesn't. Like, the scene with her and Stephen Ray.
That
where
first,
she's like.
So, I loved it.
I know.
Amazing.
She's like, can't you make sense of it? No, you can't. Also, like, she, like...
And just laughing at how absurd it is.
Yeah.
What does this verse mean, Claire?
I don't know.
Is it from your childhood?
No, it's not from my childhood. It's from somebody else's childhood.
Whose?
I don't know. It's written on the walls of a boy's room. And the boy is chained to the bed, and the room's filling up with water.
So it's from a dream?
Yeah.
And is this dream connected to your dream of apples?
Yes. It's the same boy.
But in the orchard dream, it was a man.
Can't you make sense of it?
Would you like me to?
Oh, I would love you to. I can't make sense of it.
When she gets out of the hospital and she ends up like biting Aidan Quinn and he's like, you're fucking crazy. And she's like, it's him. And he's like, you just sound crazy. And she's like, I know. Like, but they don't, they never try to shift her language or make her.
Right.
She's always like, it's bonkers. None of this makes sense.
Right.
I'm it confused.
It, I mean, yeah. It does a little bit. Yeah. I mean, it makes it, well.
Like, you believe her.
Yeah, but it doesn't, you know, there's a lot of these kinds of movies.
Yeah, for sure.
Or a lot of movies that rely on, am I going crazy? Or am yeah. I seeing some kind of premonition, right?
Right.
The fair number, that's a, like a subgenre.
Right, yeah.
If not in movies, there's plenty of episodes of TV, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
How many X-File episodes or something, you know? But like, yeah, what it does is different and refreshing is, you know, it doesn't, because it gets so tedious of like, why won't anybody believe me?
Yeah.
She knows immediately how it sounds.
Yeah.
She knows why no one believes her.
Yeah.
It's still crazy making in its own because I mean, there's nothing still, she can do.
It's still affecting her everyday life and she's still,
Like the same, yesterday morning I watched a zombie movie from the 70s.
Mm-hmm. What was it called?
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's in the Manchester Morgue.
Shit.
No, it's one of those that's got like three different titles depending on, like Living Dead in the Manchester Morgue or Let Sleeping Corpses Lie.
Nice.
Both pretty great titles. Sure. And, you know, a female character gets attacked by a guy who everybody says died like a week ago. And she's like, why won't anybody believe me? And everybody's like, you sound crazy. Get yourself together.
Yeah. But like, I think that's why I feel like that's where it's a Neil Jordan movie is because he doesn't try to convince, like he kind of splits it up into two categories of like the viewer, the audience who is seeing things from her perspective. So they know where she's coming from.
Uh-huh.
And then everyone else who doesn't, you know? And so you're in her shoes and you're like, oh, like you're frustrated with her, but like, what else are you, but you still, you don't know any more than she does.
Yeah,
like, right. And she's only been being given as much information as you are. So she's she doesn't know where it's coming from. She doesn't know how to piece it together. And it's, I don't know. It's really, it's interesting. Is it a great movie? No, it's not. Is it a lot of fun to watch? Yeah. Does it have a really great soundtrack?
Really interesting soundtrack. Yeah. Like it stands out.
Yeah, like, I really like the not weird an obnoxious guitar one. Stuff when they're doing like the end chase thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting guitar work where it's like swells of distorted guitar over what you would expect from a cinematic score, like strings or like big synthy pad stuff. But very effective. And interesting, like I feel like if I've experienced things like it, I can't think of where, but like, I can imagine it being used like when there's like an angry, like, you know, because it's guitar, it would be very aggressive, but that's not.
Yeah.
It's primitive. It's
aggressive. That was good.
You get it.
I do.
But I wanted to say another way, another cliche avoided is, or I'll just describe the scene and then you'll know what I mean, hopefully. Their daughter is wearing dad's pilot's uniform coat.
Yeah.
And a letter falls out.
Yeah.
Cut to.
Yeah.
Annette Bening's character is sitting on the couch having a smoke when Aidan Quinn comes home.
Yeah.
And then, you know, finds out
that
it's a letter from someone he cheated on her with.
Yeah.
Or not. Who cares?
Yeah.
That's the other thing. We don't stay there.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's true. It doesn't matter if they actually fucked or whatever.
Yeah.
He says, oh, we just went to dinner. I could have done something, but it didn't.
Yeah.
Classic. But it's one scene. And I love that it cuts from the letter hitting the floor.
Yeah.
To.
Yeah.
To the argument. You don't have her go over to the letter and look at it and her face drop. You know, like, thank you, God.
Yeah.
The bar is so low. I mean, Neil Jordan's great. I mean, already, I think he's great.
Also, it's like, it gives it's like a deflection. Like, that whole thing is like a deflection because it's showing you that they're, you know, you're like, oh, is he cheating? Is he not trustworthy? And then, like, this thing happens with this other kid. So you don't think that her kid is going missing because for a second you're given a reprieve from all of the stress because they find out the kid that was taken, it was killed. And so she's like, oh, maybe my dreams don't mean anything. And she's like, oh, you're cheating on me. And he's like, no, I'm not cheating on you. You know, and then they go to the play and then they have that little, like, you know, goodbye where it's like they're trying to, like, you know, be nice to each other and, like, not distrust each other. And, you know, and then that's immediately the kid's gone.
Right.
You know, and so it's like you have this moment of, like,
why are you obsessed with the color red?
I'm not. Also, I fucking Annette Bening. Like, there's a couple times in this when watching this, I'm like, God damn, because she'll be so animated and so, like, you know. And then, like, the scene where she's waking up after she fucking wrecks her car when she finds out her kid's dead. And she's like,
why did you bring me back? Yeah.
And her, you can feel how dry her mouth is. You're like, oh my God. Ugh. Dude. You're like, I've woken up from that surgery. It's horrible. You're like, bleh. And like, it looks like she's going to say, he's like, do you remember who I am? And she's like, no. And she's working her mouth so hard and then she just says no. And you're like, oh, she just said one word. And then again, after they drug her and take her to the hospital, she's just like staring at that person and they're like, we're roommates or whatever. And she's like,
yeah.
And it's such a, like, she looks literally drugged. She looks literally drugged.
No, and you can see.
So amazing.
A lesser actor.
For sure.
You have seen a lesser actor do this role and there's two notes.
Yeah.
At best.
Yeah.
There's freak out crazy.
Yeah.
Nobody believes me, and then there's, you know, normal, whatever that, whatever that is for that actor. But, like, no, there's every scenario, she's a different level of frantic or whatever else it is. But, yeah, and I kept thinking this because she's not an actor I paid attention to until I saw The Kids Are All Right.
Yeah.
Which I watched for Julianne Moore because I think I was on a kick at the time. Yeah. And Annette Bening fucking steals that movie.
I love her.
Like, I was really disappointed in every other part of that movie. And I was like, oh, shit. I was actually mad because I wanted Julianne Moore to be the...
Yeah.
I was like, I got to give it up.
Yeah, no, I think this movie... Because this came out in 99 and so did American Beauty. So I think this movie probably really... Or maybe American Beauty came out in 2000. But I think it was 99. But whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was definitely around the...
What were you saying?
Well, just that, like, I'm acknowledging it's a cell phone, acknowledging that I grouped her in with a bunch of other actors.
Right.
They came up around the same time that I didn't pay attention to, like Catherine Zeta-Jones and...
Yeah.
And I'm realizing it's very unfair
because
she clearly has chops.
Well, that's the thing I think with Annette Bening is like...
And I didn't mean to throw Catherine Zeta-Jones under the bus. I couldn't tell you if I've seen anything with her in it.
Right. I mean, you have, but... you know that the Haunting or whatever with
I mean she's in the Michael Skarn movie, so Threat Level Midnight.
She's
Michael Skarn's married to Catherine Zeta Jones.
Yeah. I know, but she's not actually in it. She's, you know, that movie The Haunting with Lily Taylor.
Yes.
She's in that.
Okay.
She plays the slutty girl that has a skirt on the
whole time. See? Slut. I remember no one in that movie except Lily Taylor.
Yeah. I think Liam Neeson is in it too.
Sure.
And Owen Wilson.
That and the weird thing that happens with that giant fireplace. That's the only thing I remember about that movie. Period.
Yeah. It's a terrible movie. And here's the thing.
So weird.
Lily Taylor dies at the end.
Boo.
No one else, I don't think, dies in that movie except for Lily Taylor. It's like a PG-13.
There's a spiral staircase thing, isn't there?
Yeah. It's a PG-13 horror movie where nothing happens.
Is that a Disney movie?
No, I don't think it is, but it feels like one. It sure feels like a Disney movie.
It feels like a Disney movie that's based on a ride that was based on a 1950s Disney movie. You know what I mean? Like, you know how they do that shit?
I do know.
You know what I mean?
I do know how they do that shit.
Just birds.
But yeah, Annette Bening, I feel like her performances do a thing where you don't always really, like, she's in Mars Attacks.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And she can...
She's the first lady? Who is she?
No, she plays, like, one of, like, Jack Nicholson, like, his character that, like, owns casinos or whatever. Yeah. She's, like, his girlfriend or something. Yeah, I think that's who it is. But she's, like, she can play such different roles and...
Yeah, she got crazy range.
And, yeah, and you don't really... And it's not that she doesn't get recognized. It's just, like, you almost don't recognize that you've seen her because she just...
Uh-huh.
She can just blend into, think she was in this movie, Running with Scissors. Yeah, I think it's called Running with Scissors. And, yeah, she plays, like, that was a rough movie. That was a rough one.
I've heard of that.
It's a good movie, but also it's, like, it's based on a person's life. I can't remember who it is. He basically, his mom...
Oh, it's the, yes, the Burroughs.
Yeah, his mom gave custody of him when he was like 13 or something, 13 or 14, to his therapist.
Augustine Burroughs.
Yes, Augustine Burroughs. She gave custody of him to his therapist who...
Oh, right.
...was not a great person and sort of... thought that kids should be treated like adults in every way. And so, like, he was cool with, like, his daughter having sex with, like, adult men. And he thought it was fine for the kid to, like, have sex with adult men and stuff like that. And it was, yeah, it's like a whole thing. But she plays his mother, who was basically, like, crazy mm-hmm. and, you know, wasn't, she plays the mother who was like just basically delusional or, you know, wanted to be a famous writer, but she just like wrote poetry. So no one really gave a shit about her. And anyway,
man.
So in Dreams,
can't relate.
So the scene where I love this scene, I always forget it happens, but I love the scene when they pull her kid out of the water or when they find her kid.
Oh, God, yeah.
And she just takes the car and drives off a fucking bridge.
Love it.
Love it. Fucking love it. Like, it's so, like, she's just, like, doesn't give a shit.
We need to redo the juror for the pod.
Okay.
Because that scene reminded me of, there's a scene in that movie where she's driving, isn't she?
I don't know. I don't remember. I just remember it not being good, and at the end,
yeah, it's
being
not great.
like a weird
it's got a lot of the same plot beats as this one where it's like what
I just don't agree. Plot beats, what do you mean?
Okay, maybe that's not the right word. Some cosmetic similarities.
Okay,
of like, isn't she a single mom in that too? Well, she's not a single mom.
She's not a single mom.
All right, never mind. My whole theory is falling apart. You got a car chase. And you got...
There's not a car chase in this, though.
Well, you know, that scene that you're talking about.
Yeah.
What would you call it?
I would call it a car scene. I would call it a car death.
Intentional.
A car intentional. A car attempted suicide.
I just thought, yeah, that whole sequence was... Yeah, again, Neil Jordan
does some shit. He makes some choices.
like, yeah, again, this movie, you've seen so many versions of it, mm-hmm. or I have, I feel like.
Oh, for sure.
And it stands out.
Yeah,
because right. of his choices.
Right.
Like, when they're lifting her body out of the water.
Yeah.
All part of that whole sequence.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's just really impactful.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, I know why, but,
yeah.
You know, I didn't expect it to be, you know, and be like,
yeah.
anybody else did this, I'd be like, ugh, yeah. eye roll. You
know? Right, because I think something that I've discovered with Neil Jordan movies, at least in this, is that he doesn't, to his credit and maybe sometimes demise, he doesn't spoon feed it to you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't insult your intelligence. Yeah,
he doesn't say like, oh, we're gonna, you know, like he doesn't say like literally. So here's how the sequence goes. They're looking underwater, like her daughter's gone missing. They're looking that like the cop is saying, hey, I didn't take anything that you said seriously and I should have. And she was like, how could you have taken it seriously? Like, I didn't even know what the fuck it meant.
I was more wrong than you.
Yeah. And they're having this back and forth. And then you're seeing the divers underwater and they pan to, you just see like hair tangled.
Yeah.
In, like,
I really thought it was going to be a doll. I thought it was supposed to be a doll.
And then she's standing on the bridge and you're like, oh, that fucking shot, because it just zooms in on her.
Yeah. But the thing that blew me away was the, because the background is because this road comes down to the water level.
Yeah.
So in the wide shot before it zooms in, you get the whole road and it's just full of cop cars parked there.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It was just, you don't see shots like that.
Yeah.
And then it.
So.
Noir sort of.
It zooms in
Hitchcock
on her,
style.
And she sees that they're flashing a light. That's all she sees. Right. And she loses her fucking shit.
And they're radioing the detective.
And they just say, hey, like, we found some. But nothing. you don't know. She takes off. She gets, like, the husband shows up. He says, what happened? And she says, I'm sorry. And she gets in the car and she drives and she fucking is like driving as fast as she fucking can.
Yeah.
And then you see them pulling the body out of the water. So it's like, it's not even confirmed. Like, it's not even fucking confirmed that it's, you know, and like, she fucking literally like dives off a cliff and like, and then she wakes up and it's been like 6 weeks or whatever because she had to have brain surgery and shit like that. And like, it's ridiculous, but it's like, it's such a quick sequence, but you are given.
There's like, no question about what's happening.
There's no question about what's happening.
Why nobody's doing
what
they're doing.
Exactly. It's like, I mean, terrible tragedy, but I love that they're acknowledging. No, I'm saying I love that they're saying, like, that's how some people would react if they found out that their kid had died.
Yeah.
They would just try to kill themselves immediately. Like, that is a reality. Like, that's a real fucking thing that would happen, especially when you, like, you realize that your kid died a violent death. Like, because she saw what happened, you know, so she knows. So she's like, okay, well, I'm going to kill myself because I can't deal with seeing this anymore. And like, that's such a blunt, like brutal sort of action that they would spoon feed you otherwise. But this one, it's literally, she drives off a cliff and they show her like going into the, like you went, oh God.
Yeah.
Because she's driving off and she's just like,
no,
man.
I was going to say, there was another similar thing. Again, there are things you've seen in every other movie. But for whatever reason, how it's shot or edited, like my guts, you know, went up into my throat. I felt that the moment of, because how it's shot, it's like you get a POV of like inside the car.
Yeah.
So you get that moment of free falling.
Yeah.
Horrifying. It's like one of my biggest fears.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the impact of the water. But like, there's a scene too when at the end, during the climax, when they go over the dam.
Yeah.
And you see them falling and it goes for just long enough that you're like, oh my God, that is so far.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how he does it. Like, the timing is just different enough from every other film.
Yeah. And the pacing, too. And they don't do the thing where they don't, like...
Yeah.
They show it to you as long as it needs to be shown.
Yeah.
And then they don't do the thing where they show them jumping off or, like, falling off from, like, 12 different angles, you know? And then hitting the water, and so you don't have a...
God, I watched the... I forget what it was. I know the channel was the good bad movie Bible. So hard to say. Good bad movie Bible.
Babble. Good bad movie Bible.
Anyway, great channel. Check it out if you like bad movies. But I forget what movie he was talking about. But he's like, kind of talking shit on the editing of whatever film, and then he's like, but I'll still take it over the shambling. of Neeson, and then it showed, I presume, from one of the Taken's, like Taken 3 or some shit. And it's just him running and then climbing over a fence, but it cuts every two, like half a second.
Oh my God.
It's and so it hard. Takes forever for him to go over the fence because it's like, cut, cut, fence, cut.
Yeah. I hate that shit so much.
Okay, we're going to take a break real quick. Be right back.
I absolutely hate the way that modern movies cut fights. Ugh. And they don't look cool anymore. Like, fights used to look cool, and now they don't anymore because it's just like, people will be like, we'll have full-on training, and then they just have a close-in zoom of like a couple fists against like someone's belly.
And it's dark as fuck.
Yeah. And almost you can't always. See shit, and it's cut so fucking fast, so it'll be like, it's like,
so insulting to the performers to me. I'm like, you must think that.
I don't understand.
Anyway.
I don't like that shit. So yeah, I think it's like.
Guys, we're not like other girls.
guys.
Fellas, has it ever happened to you that you're not like other girls?
Fellas, is it gay to be like other girls?
Gays.
Gays, is it fella to be a girl? Speaking of.
We came to the. Platonic conclusion. Socratic.
How synthesis. He's like the mommy poppy, Robert Downey Jr.'s character. Like, until she comes along, he's the mommy and the poppy or whatever. Oh my God.
That's Vivian's mom there.
That's a tailor's dummy, Ruby.
I know, but that's the kind of clothes she used to wear.
Why does he keep them here?
When he's playing mom, he's very good at it, you know? You should hear the way his voice changes.
Why does he do that?
He said his daddy was a dollar, his mommy was a song.
Yeah, Ruby's pretty great.
Oh my God.
She does a lot of work.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I like that you get almost as much, at least before, until Annette Bening escapes.
Yeah.
You get almost as much of Ruby as you do of Vivian.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I love that he's named Vivian. Mm-hmm. I love that shit. Yep. I love that shit. He's got long ass hair. Like, she's got short hair. He's got long hair. They do some things. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Them genders dumb and bam.
Also, he's doing. I didn't realize until.
So sorry.
I didn't realize until watching it last night. But he's wearing that fucking coat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And when he escapes the hospital. He steals that, and he's wearing it. He's been wearing it for, like, fucking 25
years or whatever.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, shit.
I wasn't sure if we were supposed to think that.
Yeah. I gotta be
5. Engage.
I don't know why. I love the scene when she first escapes him, and she takes Ruby, like, wherever in, like, the weird little...
Mm-hmm.
place that she is, and there's all those shelves, and they're just like walking through all those shelves. It's all the things he does and says of that are so fucking funny to me. When he's like
Oh, yeah.
He's like, Mom, something's wrong. So fucking funny. And then he's like, he's like saying, like, I don't know, he's saying, he's just being so gentle. I can't remember what he's saying to her, but he's like, come out, you know, or something. And then he's like, Ruby, where the fuck are you? And he just, because he's like being all gentle, and then he just starts screaming. It's so fucking funny. And then when he's escaping the hospital, like as a teenager, and he dresses like a nurse, you know, and the guy, mm-hmm. and the cop picks him up or whatever, and they're like, you know, like making out or whatever, and then like the cop like reaches between his legs, of course, and he's like, what the fuck, and he has the gun, he just goes
yeah, all the different times he chuckles and during that sequence, it's so good.
It's so good. And also, like, I don't know, there's just stuff like when he, like, he takes the cop to the lake or whatever, and
you live in a lake,
and the cop's like really scared, and you, and then he just shoots the cop and he kills the cop, and stuff like that, like, doesn't really happen in movies. Like, they'll pan away, or they'll like make you think they're gonna get away, or they, but they don't. He just like shoots him right there, and then like disposes of him, and then just.
Same with it's when she's first. What's her character's name? Annette.
It is. Oh fuck! I can't remember. I'm trying to think because.
Rebecca's the daughter, right?
Rebecca, and then Claire. Claire.
That's right. It's like after, you know, the night has just passed, like they're waking up or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's, whatever. And she grabs Ruby and runs.
Yes.
And he grabs her.
Yeah.
And has the gun.
Yeah, and she says, no, I don't die here. I die in the...
Yeah, but when she...
Yeah, maybe you develop a limp. Yeah.
No, but then she's like, I emptied it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
It really got me.
Yeah. And she kicks him in the face. It's so good.
Yeah.
I know, it's good. It's good. Like, also I like when... He, like, because he tells her that he's been dreaming of her, too. Right. Like, it's not just a one-way street. So, like, he sees her and she sees him. And he's been doing things to try to get her to come to him. And that's part of why he took her daughter, because he wanted her to come to him. And he, you know.
Oh, I love like all the shit with the dog. Oh, my God. And how fucking long it takes for that to pay off.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, pay off, you know, like. Mm-hmm.
The fact that, like, yeah, I mean, it's like, it's a lot of fun. I will say, I feel like they do the thing of, like, he definitely, like, is, like, a cross-dresser sort of in it, but, like, they don't do the thing where he cross-dresses to kill someone, or he cross-dresses so that he can't, like, it's usually so he can, like, get away with something, or, like, not be seen, or invisibilize
himself. Or to be mommy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, anytime you see him doing that, it's like when he's trying to escape the mental hospital, and he's dresses as a nurse to get out inconspicuously. He's trying to be, he's trying not to be noticed, not trying to trick someone. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's trying, you know.
Well, so I kill a cop.
Well, he does, but ACAB, baby. We don't care about that. So what I'm saying is,
if he's willing to do that, imagine what he's going to do in a women's bathroom where there's kitty litter.
Well, he already killed a woman, so that's what he would do in a woman's bathroom. But anyway, what I'm saying is...
Oh, it was in the women's room, too.
Yeah, so. That's what I'm saying.
And he didn't even have to cross-dress for that.
Exactly. That's what I mean. He didn't cross-dress to do that. So what my point is, I think that it's incidental in this movie. Like, it's not a key feature of his personality. It's just something that he's like his. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I'm saying it's not perfect, but I don't think it makes.
Yeah, it's not Buffalo Bill.
It's not Buffalo Bill, but it's not a symptom of what's going on with him. It's a thing that he does, you know, whatever.
Well, he does fit the profile because of his domineering mother.
It's true. It's true. He does have a domineering mother.
Bad mommy.
But it's a lot of fun. He's not in it for very long. Like, Robert Downey Jr. is in it for a very short amount of time.
Yeah, and he does well, you know.
Yeah.
Don't be mad.
I'm mad.
Like, you don't see him in that kind of role.
Mm-hmm. Or we haven't. For sure. Yeah.
Right? So he does pretty good.
Apparently.
And like all the things you're talking about, which I assumed might have been improvised.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Something's wrong.
It hurts real bad. Ruby, where the fuck are you?
But I did kind of want it to be somebody like a Brad Dourif for.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah. So. Apparently, I didn't realize this, but apparently this movie, they had trouble shooting because he was relapsing during the making of this movie. I know. Yeah. So I don't know the extent of it, but that's some of the trivia. Like, he'd been sober for a little while, and I guess during the filming of this movie is when he started to relapse and have issues again. So... considering that, he did great.
Yeah.
What a great performance. But yeah, it's so weird.
I'm surprised it didn't make its money back, seemingly.
Yeah, I was thinking about that last night. I was like, I can't imagine going to the movie to see this. I cannot imagine going to the movies to see this in the 90s. Like,
I just can't imagine going to the movies anymore.
Well, that's fair. I just mean, like,
even retrospectively.
I mean, like, what that experience must have been like to see this in the theaters. I would just be like, this is such a weird fucking movie. I don't know what to, you know. But yeah, I was obsessed with this movie. And Robert Downey Jr.
Maybe it was a little played out by that time. Like, I feel like early 90s, sure. It would have been, or by even mid-90s.
Oh, if this came out in like 1992, this would have been like one of the biggest hits ever. But yeah.
Like, after Silence of the Lambs.
Like, I really think what hurts this movie is how they, like, how much time they put to her trying to figure out what's going on and getting put away as opposed to the two of them interacting on, because that's really when the juice mm-hmm. starts flowing, is when I don't know that's when it starts getting
the
really
juice.
Yeah. With the apple cider, that's when it starts getting really interesting to me, is when she finally gets to him. But it's like that doesn't even occur to her really until he shows her how to get out of the hospital and how to get to him. So it's like, I think if she'd been trying to find him earlier, if she'd been like, if she knew how or knew where, like, I think it would have been a little more engaging if the meetup had happened sooner, or if it was a little bit longer and less time was dedicated to like everyone being like, she is crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's crazy. We got to lock her up because she's crazy.
Like, there's definitely too much time spent with Aidan Quinn. For a character that,
Clear.
You know, yeah. In the end is just
my God,
pretty disposable.
The whole fucking family dies. The whole fucking family dies.
Good point.
And that's another win for me. Like, that never happens in movies.
Yeah.
They never do that. And they all die.
Yeah. And her revenge that you get to see at the end is,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is nice. That doesn't, I mean, it's heavy-handed, but it's brief.
Yeah.
And
yeah, 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 for sure.
It's good. It's satisfying.
The only thing I don't like is how they do the twisty, like...
I was going to bring up... I want to talk about the digital effects.
I don't like it. Yeah.
When it's that obvious where it's like, yeah, that...
And it feels like it's sped up, too. It's like...
Yeah. It's fairly subtle.
For sure. Yes.
To its credit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when it starts happening, it's done in a way where it's morphing between like her visions and reality.
It's morbid.
It's morbid time.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
It's mighty anamorphin time.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty effective.
Yeah, and I didn't mind that so much. I didn't mind it when she was having a vision.
There's a couple times where it's just like some kind of inverse scene wipe kind of
effect. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the shoe dropping, sinking slowly, and then...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh man, what was I going to say? I like when he first gets this is a thing that I noticed like from watching it before, and I think it's so gross, but like kudos, cuz this means that they knew, like, so when he's getting put in his room, like
at the very end
when he's getting put in a cell or whatever, they thrust him against the thing and push his face into like the glass. You can see, like, when they bring his face away, you can see where they've smeared his face, where it's like a clean patch where his face was, meaning that, like, it was, yes! And I'm like, that's so gross.
Yeah.
But it means it was intentional.
Right, that is intentional.
Because you can't, like, that would ruin a shot. Like, you would only be able to do it one time if you didn't know, or, you know, it would be noticeable. But it's like, oh, I was like, ew, nice. that's fucking gross.
A nice touch.
And perfect. Like, shit, but like little things like that. That's where it feels like Neil Jordan. That's where I'm like,
this is my one thing that I had. I'm not defending it.
It's okay.
It's acknowledging my own neuroses or disabilities or what have you.
Correct. Yeah.
There were fresh apples. So many fresh.
I never thought about that, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand.
There's also tons of rotting apples.
Yes.
But who is picking all those apples still? Is he? There's far too many for one person to be doing that.
Also, where are the apples coming from? Because there's not an apple tree.
Oh, that's right. It's not actually an orchard.
It's not actually an orchard.
What the fuck?
Right. Pepperidge Farm remembers. Don't sit under the apple tree. Anyone else but me.
Not so good with the... I'm a little disappointed in Neil.
I really was.
In that regard.
I really
this movie. He's usually really good with...
Musica. Yeah. Yeah, I wanted there to be better music than that. Don't sit under the apple tree. I guess they were like, what's an apple song? Apple Bottom
Jeans. I bet it's in the book.
Hadn't come out yet, so... oh, the computer graphics.
Oh, dear Lord.
What is she doing when she like draws an apple, then she colors it into the swipes.
Yeah.
She swipes and it's colored to look like a literal apple, not like a digital apple, but like a literal photograph of an apple.
and then it starts animating.
And then she touches the screen and then it just starts sorting itself into
I did love. He's in the computer now.
I know, and that was like a thing. I hate that part. Only this is where my thing comes in, because I'm like, because you get like a little wipe before like the sink starts blowing up.
Do you?
Yeah, it starts to like
that spiral thing.
Yeah. And so I'm twisty. Like, are we supposed to think, because then it's like the whole kitchen is erupted into apple rotting juice exploding everywhere.
Out of the disposal.
Right. And then the computer's doing weird shit and she throws it out the window. So like, I'm like, is he in her head?
It's too bad they didn't get...
That was the only part that I'm like,
a sponsorship from Macintosh.
It's because they probably were like, and they were like, no, that's okay. We don't want this. But for me, that's where I don't like the Apple thing. I'm like, whatever. But that part, I'm like, was that supposed to have really happened? Because if it really happened, then it's not just like some weird sort of like thing where they can see each other. Then it's like supernatural. And then that's the only occurrence of it. So, but then if he made her see that, that's confusing because he doesn't have that. Like, how did he? I didn't like that part. That was the only part. No, I don't like this.
That one's muddied.
We can just stop doing that. And she can just spill the red like ink everywhere and then go slit her wrists and then all the middle section can be done. And what they do with the dog is fucked up, man. It's great. Cause he takes the dog and he puts the dog in a hotel room, an abandoned hotel. The Carlton Hotel. He puts the dog in the hotel room. He calls the husband and says, hey, your dog is in this place. The husband goes and looks. He kills the husband and leaves the husband's dead body in the room with the dog tied to a bed, similarly to how he grew up. And then days later, they find him eaten by the dog. And the dog, that's some fucked up shit. Meanwhile, like, Aidan Quinn gets his eyeball poked out and eaten by a dog. And I'm like, that poor dog.
Yeah.
So that hotel, that abandoned hotel, was a literal abandoned hotel. But it was kept so pristine that they had to work to make it look like it.
Yeah, they distress it. Yeah.
Like on the outside. Like on the inside, I don't know what they did there. But on the outside, they had to try to make it actually look like it hadn't been lived in because they were really...
Actual abandoned mental hospital.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Man, I know it's so fucking 1980s, 1990s, but I love those. I love when there is a mental hospital that people are meant to be at in a film, and it just looks, it's got that like, or any kind of hospital, it's got that like that seafoam green tile, and everything looks like it hasn't been updated since 1942, and like there's some yellow and some orange in there just because the 70s, they got a little budget in the 70s and they bought some ugly chairs, you know, and then everything is like that green in the background or green or blue. And then it's just like, it just has that look like it hasn't been updated. I'm such a sucker for that shit. If you're like, I'm in a mental hospital and it looks like it hasn't been updated since 1972, I'm like, oh, this is going to be so good. I don't know why. I'm such a sucker for that look.
There's a shot where he's, young Vivian is given electroshock.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's because that happens in Butcher Boy 2.
I know. I was like, oh, Neil, is there something you want to tell us?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, no wonder I confuse him with Todd Haynes. Because of Velvet Goldmine, and like, there's a thing about like ECT in that.
ECT. So, oh, ECT. Sorry.
Electroconvulsive therapy.
Yeah.
The underwater scenes, I'm sure you read this.
Yeah.
Were shot and built in the tank that was made for Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Filmed in 1997.
Yeah.
Copyrighted 1998. Released in 99.
That's why I was saying it's obvious that it, like, because he says it's been 25 years since he was in here. He escaped in 1972. And I'm like, that makes this 1997 and not 1999.
Ah! Right. Ah!
fucking.
It's based on the book called Doll's Eyes.
I know. I was wanting to read it before or start reading it before we watched the movie. And I don't want to buy it. What?
Same author wrote a book on which Dead Ringers is based, presumably.
What's Dead Ringers?
It's a Cronenberg movie.
Oh.
I haven't watched it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I've watched it. I don't think I have.
Oh, God, it's getting remade this year. Oh, a TV series.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Doll's Eyes.
Oh, would you recommend In Dreams?
You could do worse.
Yeah, for sure.
Whoops. I think if you're a fan of this kind of genre, subgenre.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking of, like, Hideaway. It's better. I liked it better than Hideaway.
For sure, yes.
At one, this is when I watched Over Your Shoulders, where it was, like, The Perfect Murder, and it's got... Is it Murder by Numbers?
Yeah. Yeah, with Sandra Bullock.
That's what it is. Yeah. I can't remember who the lead was. I can't remember if it was Sandy B or... fucking, like, Naomi Judd or something.
Kiss the Girls. That was one of my favorite ones. Yeah, I definitely recommend.
Or and also, of course, I was reminded of fucking The Gift.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I would say they're about on par with one another.
Yeah, I mean, I think this one is definitely, you know, this definitely does feel like a 90s, like a very 90s thing. So if you're in the mood for like, if you want that like 90s feel of a movie, absolutely, I recommend this. But yeah, and like, it's weird. It's just weird. Like, I think if you're looking for something...
I mean, if you're a fan of Neil Jordan, which I clearly have become...
Yeah. If you like Neil Jordan, if you like Annette Bening, if you like Robert Downey Jr., if you like Stephen Ray,
Ray's...
He's barely in it, but it's worth it because he's just like...
Also, he tries to do an accent. About all the... Yeah, all the Irish actors in this doing American accents?
Well, there's two of them.
Oh, I thought Guilfoyle.
No. No, he's just doing the weird. He's like, she was found in a storm drain.
Oh, but he's American?
In a pocket. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I misunderstood.
Storm drain with racks in the pockets.
What is Massachusetts?
I know, right? And I think Stephen Ray, I think that he's trying to do that, but he's...
Oh, my God, that was terrifying. But it bounced like twice, and I'm like, what is...
I saw that it was your phone, and I saw you react as though it were a small cat or mouse.
Yeah. big mouse, a small cat.
Yeah. Stephen Ray, I think, is trying to do the Massachusetts thing, but ends up just doing a bad New York. Because that's what happens. People are like, I see where you're going there. And then they start doing this.
Can you stop the dreams?
Well, we can start by talking about them.
I don't know.
Like, I will say it makes sense with his natural accent.
Which makes
Stephen
sense.
Ray. What his accent ends up in becoming in this
for
movie.
For sure, for sure.
So kudos there, because I think he... It's... it's not terribly distracting.
Yeah, no.
He finds a good middle ground, I think.
Stephen Ray always looks to me like he really wants a smack. He just, he always looks like he's a little bit sad. And you're like, are you sad because you got smacked too much or not enough? And that's really where the appeal is that he looks a little sad all the time. I can't imagine having a face that's that heartbroken. But, like, it makes him such a good actor, you know? He just looks like somebody strangled a small, like, puppy in front of him and then didn't.
And then he was also that small puppy.
And then didn't slap him in the face
afterwards.
That's
the second saddest thing I've heard, didn't I?
The puppy also died. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
he's on Colonel Gentleman's list of
actresses that
need a smack in the mouth.
out Imperial Walker.
He's a baby killer.
A survival game.
He killed a baby. Oh man, such a good show. Yeah, but I think In Dreams is watchable. I think if you want it to be the best movie you've ever seen, don't watch In Dreams. But if you're like, this is a weird, I'm looking for something weird.
Also starring Robert Downey Jr. And I would say this is probably better than Gothica.
Oh yeah, this is definitely better than Gothica. Whew. Which I watched in the movie theater because Robert Downey Jr. was in it. We'll see then what?
Tell that to yourself at the beginning of this episode when you said, I can't imagine going to the theater to see this.
Yeah, I can't imagine going to the theater to see this.
You
because
can?
I can't. Because I've gone to see Gothica and that was hard enough. I'm saying sitting, like, this is such a strange movie to see in the theater. Not saying I can't imagine wanting to watch this movie in the theater. That's not what I mean. I just mean, like, I can't imagine how it would feel to watch this movie in the theater is more what I mean. Because it's very strange and the pacing is odd and it's so, I just can't imagine, like, what other people were doing, you know, like.
Yeah.
Like, I just imagine an extremely quiet theater where people are like. Eh? Like that Susie Izzard bit where she's like talking about like British movies and you can't eat.
Yeah, popcorn. Right. Like,
she's like, arranging matches. Yes, well, that was one of my favorites.
Someone enters a room.
Yeah. I just, what? Oh. It got me so hard because I love those kinds of movies too. Right. So I knew exactly what she was talking about. Yes, well, I just, oh. Meanwhile, I watch that and I'm bawling while they're arranging matches going, yeah, oh, well, I just, oh. I'm like, it's so beautiful if you really think about it. Because look at the longing in their eyes.
Can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all. I don't think I have anything else to say about this movie.
I mean, we're closing out March for
Jordan. Oh yeah. Which are your favorites and which are your high spirits, least favorite by far?
Ooh, dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
As a stinker.
Yeah.
But I don't blame Neil for that.
No, I don't blame Neil for that one.
That's about studio
malfeasance. Yeah. I'm curious to see what Neil would have to say about that one, but I'm not going to blame him.
Oh, Butcher Boy.
Is your favorite?
Wins. Easy. I really liked Mona Lisa. That was a nice surprise, too.
I think I'm tied between In Dreams and Mona Lisa for favorite.
Really?
Because In Dreams is just like, that's just one that I have such nostalgia for.
Yeah.
And Mona Lisa was just so good. It was so unexpected and I knew nothing about it and it really blew me away, especially knowing how early of a movie it was for him. Like and you know, so much about it. Yeah. So Mona Lisa is definitely the new ones I've seen. Mona Lisa is the one that, you know, is my favorite, but In Dreams is always going to be. I got a special place in my heart for that one. That it's so weird. This is another thing about In Dreams. It's just weird.
It is.
It's just like you watch it and you're like, what is this fucking movie? And there's something about that quality of a film that I'm like, yeah, this has something to it.
Absolutely. Or
you like, you watch it and you're like, I don't know what.
He keeps it weird.
Yeah, he does. And
he keeps it weird. He keeps it queer.
He does. Yes. He's like, let's make it weird and let's make it a little queer. And
let's make it queered.
Yes. Neil Jordan.
Keeping it queered.
Oh, my dreams. It's never quite as it seems. sure.
Make it I am. Leslie Uggams. Maud Adams. Leslie Ann Warren. Carol Channing. Cher. Denise Richards. Sean Young. She's got a smart mouth. Halle Berry. Annette Bening. Jane Fonda. Michelle Pfeiffer. Pam Dauber. Did I say Cher? Jennifer J.Lo Lopez. Courtney Cox. Rosie O'Donnell. She's a monster. Ursula Andress.
Deep and dry. Deep and dry.